We thank the Lord to be once again in the house of the Lord, and I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank the Lord for giving me this another opportunity to meet with you and to worship the Lord together, and also to meet my brother George. I was in his country and in his home 4 years ago. Was it 5 years ago? And happy to meet him again and to be in fellowship. You know, it's just nice to fellowship around the Word of God and around the presence of God. That's the best thing that we can do. And if the Lord provides that, then we give him all the glory and all the honor. So I thank God to be here again this evening, to be with you all. Some folks I've seen the last time I was here, some are new, but I thank God that you are still all striving to get to that perfection. We know now time is not our best ally. We are very close to the coming of the Lord, and given the opportunity, we should serve him with all our heart and all that is within us, that we may be perfected for that great day which we are all waiting for. Now, I thank Brother George for giving me this opportunity, or to give me this time to stand for him as we fellowship around the Word of God. May God richly bless him for that. Before we turn to the reading of the Word, can we just offer a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thy throne of mercy. We know, Lord, even before the foundation of the world, you purposed, Lord,
amen,
that today will be assembled in this manner, to give you honor and glory, Father God, and to hear from you. We are here, Father God, not to see a man, not to see one another, but Father God, as you promised in your word, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you will be there. So we are here for you, that Lord God, you may do, or you may perform, Father God, that which you predestinated us for to receive this day. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. Father, as you, it falls my lot to speak to these your people, Father, may you touch these unfeeble lips, Lord. May you cleanse them, Lord. And may you give us, Father, the revelation of your word. May you, Father God, come down in the power of the Holy Ghost to speak to us, Father. May you bless the speaker. May you bless the hearer, Lord. Bless the heart that receives. And Father God, may we be uplifted. May we see your glory and your honor manifested in our midst, Lord, tonight. As we commit all this, Father God, into your hands, that your word may go forth, heal the sick, strengthen the weak, and uphold, Father God, as you are standing in the battlefront, Father God, fighting this battle until we come to the final victory. Father God, bless us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just want to read from the first book of John, the first book of John, chapter 1, I want to read from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That we have seen, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I just want to share with you this thought from the portion of scripture we have read. I just want to speak on the true fellowship. We see here in the word that we have been called to a fellowship. That's why we are here. We want to fellowship. Now, the first thing before we have this fellowship is that we have gathered together. But the purpose of our gathering together is for fellowship. As much as we can gather together, we can do that outside of fellowship. We can gather together, but have no fellowship. But I just want to thank the Lord that we are here. You know, like Brother Branham said, fellowship, was it Brother Bosworth? He said, Brother Bosworth said, fellowship is two fellows in one ship. So here we are in one place. We have gathered here in one place for fellowship. Now, if two fellows are in one ship, you know, they've got to row the ship. You know, if two fellows are in one boat, their rowing must be in concordance. They must be aiming one thing. They must be going one direction. They must be of one mind. Because they are in one boat. So, we are here, irrespective of our differences in our cultures, in our nations, or whatever the case may be. But there's one thing that God has done. He has brought us together for fellowship. Now, here is what John says about our fellowship. He says, this is the message that we have heard from the beginning. And John says, this message that we have heard, we have also seen, we have looked upon, our hands have handled, it is the word of life. And this message has a purpose set by God himself from way back in eternity. God had a purpose and had a mind and a counsel within himself that he desired for us. Now, that can be accomplished only when we come into this fellowship. Because John says, this thing that we have heard, that we have handled, that was manifested to us, which is the life of God himself. We also declare unto you that you may also have fellowship with us. For our fellowship is truly with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, so God has called us by his word. And the message that God has given us in this our age is to bring us out of all the trash of the world, out of all denominationalism, out of all things that do not pertain to the life of God, that we should come and have fellowship around that thing which was from the beginning. And the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, the Word was God. So here John is bringing us back to that which was in the beginning. that which was the intention of God, that which was the purpose of God, that's why we fellowship. That's why we overlook anything else and come to that. That's why we repent. That's why we come out of all the sins and all the things of the world, that we may have that which we have been called to. Amen. So we are here to fellowship. Amen. But as I've said, we can gather together and let that fellowship. Because gathering is easy. But to a fellowship, because there's a purpose, there's a goal, there's a reason why we fellowship. If we cannot achieve that, then our fellowshipping is in vain. Or it can be even reduced to a gathering. Like in the book of Revelation, it says they are the synagogue of Satan. Because their gathering is not of God. So if we gather, irrespective of where we gather, minus this goal, then we are just a gathering. But we want to thank God that God has given us a message. God has given us a distinct message. God has given us not an uncertain sound, but by the blowing of the trumpet, distinctly called us to come and achieve this goal. Amen. Now, there is something that has called us, and that is the word. Amen. And John puts it clearly that that is what was in the beginning. Right. That message, that word, which is God Himself. In the book of Peter, the first book of Peter, we have these words. First book of Peter, chapter 1. It says, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all grass, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Now here we see, we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. And here, what has brought us to God is here compared with the grass and the flower. It says the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But for us, we have been born again by the word of God which abides forever. Amen. So we can see the grass does not abide forever. Amen. It falls away. Mm-hmm. But we are by the word of God. Now let's look back again. If we go back to the book of Genesis, it says, when God created heaven and earth, and then the earth was without form and void, He cleared all the waters and everything, and then by His word, He says, let the earth bring forth. And grasses, trees, everything that came up was by the word of God. They did not just come on their own. And understand, grass covers 25% of the surface of the earth. And wild animals, tame animals, human beings, they live on grass. And it covers one quarter of the earth. Yet here the Bible says it passes away. But remember, the grass is also by the word of God, because it not just come on its own. But here the Bible says, we are not grass. We are not born of the seed as compared to this grass. It says the grass and all the glory of man is just like the flower of the grass. It just fades away. But we are born again of the seed, which is the word of God. So you can see God spoke grass into existence. And also, for us to have fellowship, he gave us the word. Now, but what is the difference now? Because the grass is materialized from the word of God. And we are here as the product of the word of God. But then why is it said, we are not as grass? The glory of men is like grass, which passes away. If the grass passes away, does it mean that the word of God also passes away? Because the grass is born of the word of God. It came out of the speaking by the word in the beginning. But now, for us to understand or maybe see this clearer, we have got to go back to the message of John. He says, this is the message that we received from God. This is the message that was in the beginning. And now we want to fellowship so that we can accomplish the purpose, the goal of that message which we were given. So before everything else could be manifest, there was something that was in the beginning, which was the word of God. And that purpose and that goal is why the gospel was preached to us. But if you see the gospel, you know, it came with the things that would fall away. There are some things that fall away, but there's a purpose which cannot fall away. If you look at the beginning, people would come to God, offer a lamb or the goats, the sheep they were offering. People would come to God with that washing of the water, sprinkling of blood. All those things were by the word of God. And in the book of Hebrews, we are told that those things were done away with. But even if you see, from the beginning, where Abel offered that blood, there was a goal, there was a purpose which could not fall away. The form and the way of worship changes as we go. But there is something that cannot change, and that is the purpose of God, which he called us to. The same faith upon which Abel offered his sacrifice, though it was sheep on an altar, is the same purpose we are gathering here tonight. But we are not offering sheep. Can you see? So there is something that continues. There is something that goes on as these other things fall away. The law, if you look in the Old Testament, it says it was the word of God. It took Moses 40 days in the mountain, in the presence of Almighty God, as he was given the law. But the law fell off. But there is something that was in the law. There is something that was the purpose of the law that could not fall off. And we are here because of that. So we are here now in this fellowship so that we can accomplish, so that we can come to that which God desired us to have. Israel, when they were in the wilderness, God gave them manna. God gave them water from the rock. And that manna, it said it's heavenly food, heavenly bread. And for 40 years, they ate something that did not materialize from their planting.
It was spoken by God himself. And they ate that manna for 40 years. But if you go on after 40 years, manna ceased. Yet it was the word of God. Can you see? They were given that brazen serpent. That was by the word of God. Moses not cook up that in his mind. God told him, raise up that brazen serpent for the healing of the people. It was God who told Moses to strike the rock that the water could come out. But it was for a time. But while they were eating that manna, drinking from the rock, they were going to achieve the original purpose of their calling. God did not call them to eat manna. God did not call them to drink water. God called them to go to the promised land. But in the meanwhile, God gave them manna. God gave them the pillar of fire. God gave them the pillar of cloud. God gave them all those things he gave them in the wilderness. And they were so, you know, great that it was not man-made. When they ate that manna, their clothes never wore out. Their feet could not swell. There was no sickness that could touch them. And they were eating this manna. But that was not the purpose of God to call them to eat manna in the wilderness. Though they ate manna for 40 years, there was a purpose why God called them. God did wonders in their midst. God showed signs in their midst. But all those things, they passed away. And then God told them, I gave you manna. I gave you water from the rock. That you may know that man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you can see they are given the word. Manna was the word. We can't deny that. But why did God give them the manna? For them to see the real purpose of their calling. Yet God gave them a miracle. God gave them something which was not man-made. But all this God was doing and showing them was for a purpose. That's why here John says, we have fellowship. You know, fellowship is nice in its own. You know, when we fellowship, you know, we have feelings for one another. If somebody is sick, we feel for him. We pray for him. If somebody is in problems, you know, we try to help him out. All that comes out of our gathering together like this. All that comes out of our fellowshipping. Those things are very good and nice. But that's not the purpose of our calling. If we miss the goal and enjoy all these things, like they were in the wilderness, will perish. But there's a purpose why God has called us. Until we achieve that purpose, our gathering is in vain. Our fellowshipping is in vain. God has called us for something that we must apprehend. Amen. You know, it was in 1933. I think on that June morning, while Brother Branham was baptizing in that river, Ohio, his testimony is that the star came out of heaven and there was a commission given him. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, your message will forerun the second coming. That was distinct. And it was clear to everybody who was there. Here God is giving the prophet a commission. You are given a commission. That is 1933. He's given a commission. Your message. Amen. And then he goes on from 1933. You know, he started to fellowship in that place. And then the people built him a tabernacle. They said, we want you to teach us. So they built a tabernacle. They went on and on and on and on.
until, was it 1946 or 48? I'm not quite clear. When the angel came to him. Was it 46?
46.
He was, he said, I can't understand my life. So he told his wife, I'm going to pray. If I'm there for over 3 days, you just tell my bosses to put somebody else in my place. I will not come back until God tells me why I have such a life. My friends say I've got demons. People can't understand me. I can't even understand myself. So he went into that cave. And there he was praying. Deep in prayer, he saw that light come in the cave. Out of the light stood a man and said, I'm sent from the presence of God to tell you of your peculiar life. Why things are like they are in your life. And the angel told him, you are sent with a gift to the world. You are going to pray for the sick. You are even going to pray for kings. You are going to... Then he said, if you say, now, how can it be? I'm not educated, you know. Then he was told, as Moses was given two signs, so you shall be given also two signs. And if you will be sincere, you shall even know the secrets of the heart. But as for your prayer, nothing is going to stand before you, even cancer. Now, even in that commission, you can see, when God say, when the angel say to him, you are sent with a gift, then he doubted it, so to say. He said, how can it be? I'm not educated. Then he was given now two signs. Because he had questioned this commission. But those two signs were the word of God. Right. Yet they came because he had questioned. And that was in 1946. But in 1933, he was given a commission. In 1946, he is given another commission, which is also the word of God. Can you see that? As Moses was sent with the people of Israel, and he was given the power to do all those miracles. Now here we are again, even us. We were given a message. And I want to believe that what God commissioned the prophet in 1933 is the message that he gave us. And that is the goal of his being sent. But later on, he was given this healing and all this discernment. And then he later on explained it. He said, in that vision, he says, I was throwing the line. When I pulled the first pool, little fishes saw the line. Second pool, the big fish saw the line. And then, the third pool, of course, is the catching of the bride. Can you see? Now, and then he goes back to say, the first pool was the healing. The second pool was, of course, that discernment and prophecy. But the third pool, he always said, was the revelation of the word. Can you see? Now, what brings us into the purpose of God? It's not the first pool. It's not the second pool. It must be the third pool. Amen. And the third pool is the first commission of 1933. But God gave us, by his grace, he gave us the healing. He gave us the prophecy. He gave us the discernment. But what have we been called for? What have we been called to? It is the commission. Your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. So we are here now, called by God in this message, which he sent by the prophet. What is the purpose of this message? John is telling us,
We are here to fellowship because we have a message from the beginning. And this message, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And that fellowship will bring us into oneness. That fellowshipping will bring us to the goal of the purpose of God. That's why we fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
But let's look at this. The seed word, the Bible says, it abides forever. It is the principal theme of our faith. It is the principal theme of our calling. Amen. But God, when He calls us, you know, He has a purpose for us. Let's look at Abraham in James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But he did not end there. He went on again. Here James is talking about the works of the faith of Abraham. He went on to give his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And then he was called the friend of God. But if you go back to the original commission of God in chapter 12, when Abraham was called, he was called for our blessing. For he said to him, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was the purpose. That was the message that was given to Abraham. And Abraham, as he walked before God, believing the word of God, then all these things, all this power of God was manifest in him. And it actually happened in his life. For instance, he was given the land. He was told, this is the land. Look south, north, east, west. All this land I have given you. It's for your children. And then he started to move around this land of Canaan, pitching his tent and building altars all over the place. And then, after he stayed in the land for about 25 years, God actually gave him Isaac, who was the promise. Because God said, I'll give you a seed. And he was given Isaac as per the word of God. Is that right? Now let's look in Hebrews chapter 11. What he said. Hebrews 11. Verse 9 and 10. He's talking of Abraham. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's jump to verse 18. All these died in faith, not in having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and having and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now here is Paul telling us that if you read in this book of Hebrews, Paul is narrating the heroes of faith. He says Abraham by faith, though his body was dead, he believed until God gave him Isaac. Sarah, though she was old, barren, and even her womb was dead, but by faith, she was given power to conceive and bring forth Isaac. So if God promised Abraham Isaac, and Isaac was given to him, that means he obtained or he got the promise. But here the Bible is saying he did not receive the promise. He only embraced. Yet in actual fact, Isaac is there as a proof that Abraham believed. But he said he did not get the promise. And then it says even Isaac and also Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came and told them, I'll multiply you and your seed shall inherit this land. Though they were given, Isaac was given Jacob, and Jacob was given 12 sons. But here the Bible says they looked for a city. Amen. How could they look for a city? God never promised them no city.
Right.
He promised them children.
Right.
And Isaac got the child. Jacob got 12 of them.
Right.
But he says here they did not receive the promise.
Right.
Because that's what the Bible says.
Right.
And also the Bible goes on to say in chapter 11, the same chapter of in Hebrews, it says, verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Here are the great sages. Here are the great men and women of faith. Some of them stopped the fire. Some of them escaped the sword. Daniel was there in the lion's den. Shadrach and Meshach in that fiery furnace. David, he slew that great man, Goliath. We've got all these great men of faith and women of faith. But here he said they did not receive the promise.
Right.
Yet, when David stood there, he said, I'm going to kill you. And he killed Goliath. Abraham believed and was given Isaac. But why does the Bible say they did not receive the promise? That's why here it said, not as grass, but we were born again by the incorruptible seed. There is a purpose why God called Abraham. And Abraham, by faith, he could see the real promise of God. Though he was given all these things, but he desired that which God promised him. He was looking for that city with foundations. Because his faith was looking for that which was in the beginning. Amen. Because way back in the beginning, before there was anything, in the mind of God, the great logos, the word of God, was crucified in the mind of God to bring redemption for all of us.
Amen.
And Abraham could see that.
Amen.
That's why he even gave Isaac as a sacrifice. That means he was focused on the original purpose of God.
Amen.
Though he was given Isaac, he was only a shadow. He passed away. Though he was given all these things, they were only a shadow. They passed away. Though they were the word of God. But there was a principle of him. There was something that was desired of God that he should give to Abraham. And he said, without us, they cannot be perfected. Just imagine those great men and women. If you read in the book of Hebrews, you just see what they went through. Some of them, they went wandered in the desert and in the caves, and they were wearing sheepskin. The world could not receive them. They were not counted by the world. Not like some of us now today, you know, we are recognized by the world. Some of us have got positions at work. But this they did not have. But he said of them, they are not perfect until we come.
Right.
So, what manner of people should we be?
Amen.
What should we look for? How should we approach this thing? You know, when God promised Abraham deliverance of his children, he gave them manna and water in the wilderness. And that's all they could see. Though they were called for the purpose. You know, we see Moses, he could see the final redemption of God's people. But the rest of the people could not see. All they could see was the manna.
Right.
And they were told, you go out and pick the manna. Mm-hmm. And then you eat. But don't take too much. Just take enough to eat. And then one would go bring a 200-liter drum. And it was the word of God. And they were told on Sabbath not to go. But some went out.
Right.
This was by the word of God. You know, they desired the manna so much until even their children, years later, they demanded it from Jesus.
Right.
What are you going to give us? Our fathers ate manna. They so revered the manna. Yet that was not the principal thing. That was not the purpose of God calling them. That was not why God called them out of Egypt. To eat manna. That's not why God called the prophet. The prophet was sent for us to give us a message that would take us into the rapture. Can you see that? But for the rest of the world, and also we enjoyed it also, was the healing, the discernment, and all those things. They are for us also.
Right.
We enjoy them.
Right.
And the world enjoyed them.
Right.
From what we read, how many millions were healed?
Right.
How many thousands were given sight? How many dead were raised in the ministry of the prophet? But how many of them saw the commission of 1933?
That's right.
Not many. Even some of his close ministers, they could not see the commission of 1933. That's why they said, when Brother Branham is at the pulpit, when the angel is there, he is the prophet. But when he tries to preach, he's lost. Yet, this is something that came in 1946. 1933, the original commission was, you have a message. So, if they could not see the message and see the 1946 commission, then there was something wrong with them. We have been called to fellowship to achieve the purpose of God. Amen. Now, we see those people, the Bible says they cannot enter without us. They cannot achieve. Because they all lived under shadows. But now God has given us the reality of the purpose of the commission. Can you see that? You know, even in the life of the prophet, you know how many years the prophet has been gone. Many of the people who enjoyed the ministry of Brother Branham, they are no longer there. Some men of them are dead. And all those who could see why he was called, many of them are dead. Yet the prophet was given the commission in 1933, way back before even I was born. Yet that commission is what we have been called to today. That's why we are here for fellowship. That's why we are here in this message. is to fulfill that commission, that there should be a bride for Jesus Christ. That's why we come for fellowship. That's why John says, that is what was in the beginning. That is what was in the original. The commission for us to get in there. The commission for us to get a hold. Not only the first pool. Not only the second pool. But even the third pool. Amen. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they ate the manna. They drank the water. They showed the miracles. But they entered into the land. The rest enjoyed only those things. But if Moses were to say, what have we been called for? We have been called to go to the promised land. But while they were going, many people, the Bible says, a mixed multitude joined them. And the prophet said there were 2 million, but only 2 entered. Why could they not enter? They did not see the commission. They did not see the purpose of God. But they came for the gathering. Amen. In Jude. Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They are men who crept in unawares, where? Into our midst. Paul puts it clear in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren and unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place. By subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. There was a purpose in the truth of the gospel, which was supposed to continue, but there were men who crept in unawares. There were evil men who privately came into our midst. Yet John says, we were called to fellowship. We were called to fellowship so that we can achieve that which was in the beginning. Amen. You know, in the parable of Matthew chapter 13, it says that the good man sowed his seed, but while men slept, the enemy sowed tares. And he said, while men slept, tares were sown. And they all came up. And then the servant said to the master, shall we go and root out all the tares? The master said, no. Lest you also uproot the wheat. Let them grow together until the time of harvest. So was it with Israel. When they came out of Egypt, a mixed multitude came also. But God did not chuck them out. Let them go on together. Amen. But these people, though they were together, they were gathering with the people who were going to the promised land. But they were not in fellowship with those. For instance, 12 spies went over the promised land, to the promised land, to spy out the land. When they were there, they were together. when they crossed the river Jordan, maybe it was one of the 12 who said, come see this fig tree. Look at the figs. They all tested on the figs. Oh, it was good. Then they would continue, oh, come see this vine. They saw the grapes. They tested the grapes. Oh, it's so good. They went all over. Look at the rivers. Look at the springs. They all saw the good land. And then they went back to where the others were. Two gave the good report. Ten said, it's impassable, that land. You can't pass through it. The people are too big. We are like grasshoppers. We can't take the land. So you can see, they were together. When it was dark, they would sleep in one place. When they were thirsty, they could drink from the same cup. When they were hungry, they could eat from the same tree. But they were not in fellowship. Can you see? Because the purpose of their going was to bring the report of the good land. But ten brought a different report. Though they were together, they could not achieve the purpose of their going. They were the mixed multitude. So Israel, though taken out of Egypt, many did not go in. Brother Branham always talked about the crow and the dove. He says they can eat together in the cornfield. The crow can pick corn. The dove also pick corn. They are there. If you look at them, you say, look at those birds in the cornfield. But they are not in fellowship. Because after eating the corn, the crow will rise up and eat frogs on the road. And the dove cannot do that. Can you see that? So, they can be together, but not in fellowship. But the Bible here is telling us that we have been called to a fellowship. We have been called to see the purpose of God's word to us. It's not necessarily being in the same church. It's not necessarily being in the same family, going to the same church, singing from the same book. But it is the fellowship you have with one another in the purpose of God's calling. That is what God called us to. And we've got to see that. Amen. But as we see here, it says, this man, did you read in Jude? Was it in Jude 4? Let me just go back there. There's something I just want to bring out. In verse 4, it says, there are certain men crept in unawares, who have before of old ordained, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into this weakness. Can you see that? Now, if we go back to the book of John, where we read the first book of John, let's read that. Verse 7. Verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So our fellowship is one with another. And that fellowship is with the blood of Jesus Christ. So that the end result is the cleansing of our sins. Amen. So we are here because we know we are sinful. We are here because we know we are born in sin. We are here because we know we committed sins. That's why we come for fellowship. So that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us. But there are certain men who crept in and thought the grace of God which was bestowed upon us that we come into this fellowship is God's weakness. So they can continue in sin. They can continue in bad things. They can continue in their evil way. nothing is done to them because the master said, let them grow together.
Right.
Don't pluck them out. And because they are continuing in this, they think they are right.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is happening to them, they think they are in the right way.
Right.
Yet, that's not so. Can you see that?
Mm.
You know, there are many people who have lost the purpose of the message. Can you see that? But God says, let them continue. Let them be together. But they have left the purpose of the message. They have left the commission of 33. They are not continuing. Because the commission was your message. And God gave the prophet the message. Is that right? And he explicitly explained to us that there are these three stages of the message. The revealing of his word. Amen. And we have been called to that. So that we can see the purpose of God's calling us. Amen. What have we been called to? We have been called to the word. Amen. You know, there is so much looseness and there is so much liberty in the people. You know, because the prophet, he never set up a Bible school. As is done in the Catholic. You will never be priest until you go through their machinery. And if you are not learned, you cannot be a priest. You have got to go to school. You cannot be somebody in the Presbyterian until you go through their channels. But God gave us a message. Which brings us out of all those systems. Until God just calls his people. To do his work. Because of that, you don't need a degree to be a pastor. You don't need a degree to be a preacher. You don't need a degree to be this and that. People have taken that as a weakness in the message.
That's true.
And then they don't pursue the purpose of the message. Can you see that? Because there are no set rules. There are no set conditions. People, they come into fellowship and think that is the weakness. And they continue in their sins, not making their lives right.
Right.
Can you see that? But there's a purpose why we were called. Remember, God gave the commission. Amen. Praise be to God. And people have come to a point where they cannot even accept the work of God, the calling of God, the appointing of God, because they've got that liberty to do anything they want. I don't know if it's like that here. But you know, back home, anybody, if he just dislikes being with others, he can just walk out and say, I'm starting my church here. Another one starts this church there. Another one starts this church there. There's no respect for the word of God. Because we have no set system whereby you are machined to go through, like the Methodist. But even though it's like that, God has called his men. Amen. That's why we have this man, Brother George. That's why we have this man, Brother God. That's why we have these people who have got to get you in the word so that you can see the purpose why God has called us. He has not called us to play around. He has not called us just to join this and join that. He has called us to the commission. This message has got to produce a bride.
Amen.
Amen. And now as we are nearing the end, if Abraham, who lived for those 25 years, until he got the promise, yet it was reckoned to him that he cannot be perfected until you come.
Amen.
What sort of man should you be? What sort of a woman should you be? How should you conduct yourself in this world that God has called us to?
Amen.
But remember, there's that loose end where it says, let them grow together. Because of that, people are not respecting the word of God now. People are not respecting the purpose of God as long as they are eating the manna. You know, they ate manna for 40 years and God knew that they were going to die in the wilderness. He never stopped giving them the manna. They were eating. And God told them, now, turn back. After turning back, you rained manna on them every day for 40 years. No problem. Their feet never swelled. Their clothes were never torn. Yet, they were dying in the wilderness. God has called us to fellowship. Amen. You remember, in the early days, the church, you know, they saw the glory of God at Pentecost. And many people repented. And there was the fear of God among them. But still, Ananias and Sapphira came in. And God showed them out. And the Bible says, many were afraid to join themselves to this group. Because of what God had done. But God never continued doing that. He left it like that. Until men crept in unawares. You know, they knew what had happened to Ananias. But you know, man is always inventive. Man is always experimental. He tries. Is this still happening? Is this still happening? Then he comes in, sits there. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, it can be done. He stays there. Not respecting God's word. Not respecting the purpose of God. And then many come in until they rose to be pastors. They rose to be ministers. They rose to be this and that. Thinking God is weak. Thinking the grace of God is an opportunity to do things that are evil. But God said, let them grow together. But the time is coming when there's going to be a showdown. The time is coming when Abraham is going to come and receive his prize. The time is coming when all those people of old must come to receive their prize. And you must be the one to do it. Can you see? You are the manifestation. You are the longing of Abraham. And you know the Bible says, throughout the ages, the prophets lived this life. They knew they were not living for themselves. Just imagine the faithfulness of Abraham when he waited, when he was, sincere before God to receive that son. Yet he knew this was not the end. He knew there's something greater coming. God gave him Isaac, but he still looked for a city. Isaac was given Jacob, but he still looked for a city. Jacob was given the 12, but he still looked for the real thing. How much more we who have come to the end of time? Why are we gathered here? The Bible says, we are here for fellowship, that we may be cleansed from our sins. That's the purpose of our coming here. Why? Because God showed the prophet a bride that was without spot and wrinkle. Amen. She was marching to the step of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why God has brought us back to the word. And the word says, then he put in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, for the perfection of that bride. Amen. That's why we come for fellowship. Amen. True fellowship is to apprehend. True fellowship is to achieve what God has called us to. He has brought us back to the word. And if we don't recognize the word, how can we be perfected? How can we see what God has called us to? How can we achieve that perfection? For it takes that fivefold ministry to perfect us. And we don't recognize it. Some people are loners. Some people, they just say, no, perfection is in the tapes. Yes, perfection is in the tapes. As much as God sent the prophet and gave him the message, sure that message is 100% correct, and our perfection is right there in the depths. Because in the depths we are ordered by the word of God not to forsake our assembly.
Amen. That's right.
We are on there to respect and to see the word of God manifested. Brother Brown says, it will manifest itself in its fullness, the third pool, that is, in the bride.
Amen.
Amen. And Paul says, God has given us the ministry for our perfection.
Amen.
Amen. So we are called. We have been called. We have been cut out. We have been brought from all the false things of the world, that we should come into fellowship. And the purpose of the fellowship is our perfection. The purpose of the fellowship is for us to see the word and the commission of God in our day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. But men crept in unawares. Men are losing sight of the purpose of God. So much that they want to turn this message again into another denominational mess up. Yet God has given us something that is greater than anything that is in the world. The Bible says we are not born of corruptible seed. We are not here because of some other commission. We are here because of the commission of God, that there is to be a bride, perfect before God, and that is the desire of our hearts. Our fellowshipping here is not because God is so weak that he cannot destroy all those who are committing evil. Our coming together here is not because God is so weak that he can let us get by with anything. But our fellowship is that our sins be forgiven. That we may be cleansed. Why should we be forgiven? That we may meet the Lord. That we may see him face to face on that day. But people are forgetting that commission. They are getting by with it. Because God has let. But do you know why God is long suffering? We are told in the book of Romans chapter 2. It says the long suffering of God brings repentance to those who have been called to the commission. That's why God is long suffering. After giving the commission in 1933, now we are in 2009. Why this long suffering? That we may come into that perfection. And people are taking that as an advantage to continue in their own ways, to continue in their own thinking, to continue in their own sins, as if God cannot see, as if God has lost sight of his commission. God has called us to meet Christ, and Abraham and all those of old, they are waiting for us. And John says, this is the message that we got from the beginning. This is the message that has been given to us, that we have fellowship, which brings us to that which was from the beginning. May God bless you. Amen.